They just landed on an airstrip, right inside a tiny town in the middle of the Amazon jungle. Two Nazarene missionaries and a local pastor, Pastor Freddie Zapata. He's been preaching there for years. He's been ministering in this hole in the middle of the Amazon, trying to reach people for the love of Jesus Christ. The two missionaries stepped off the plane immediately. Pastor Freddie met them with a kiss on the cheek, welcoming them to the hot, humid Amazon. He said, "Before we go anywhere else, there's some place that I need to take you." And he loaded them into a taxi and he drove them down a dusty road to a place in town that was almost unrecognizable. It was a long street, quite broad, with buildings lining each side. They were clapboard barely holding together, painted different colors, blue and red and green, and outside each one was a red light bulb. In the middle of the day, all of the light bulbs were turned off. The street was completely dead. People didn't even know what would have gone on in that street had they not gone after dark. Pastor Freddie began to explain to the missionaries what that street was. It was a line of brothels where young women who were pulled out of the Amazon and forced to work night after night, selling themselves to the highest. Pastor Freddie said, "I want us to come back tonight." So he and the missionaries went back in the evening and they knocked on one of the doors of the brothel and a lady answered. And she said, "How can I help you?" in Spanish. And he said, we'd like to speak to one of the girls here. And she goes, "What do you mean you want to speak to one of them?" They said, "We just want to have a conversation, like to sit down at a table." And she said, "Our time is very valuable. How much are you willing to pay?" The going rate is $100 per hour. They agreed to the price, and they entered into this dark, drab hole in the wall, where no human should ever have to be. The lady introduced them to a girl named Vivian. And Vivian sat across the table, a single light bulb hanging from the ceiling. The two missionaries, Pastor Freddie and Vivian, sat around a round table, and she was angry. Angry that they didn't even show up in this place. Angry that they were wasting her time. And had no clue what these men wanted with her. Her hair was pulled back and her eyes were fiery. She was feisty, going into this ready for a fight. Pastor Freddie began to ask her questions. The first one, "Vivian, why do you work here? Why do you do this?" She said, "I make more money than anybody else in this jungle. I am one of the most well-known ladies. My cost is very, very high. I make around $2,000 per month. The average income in that part of Peru is about $100 per month." "Vivian, have you ever heard of God?" "Yeah, I've heard of God, but what does that have to do with anything? I mean, it's not like he's going to come down from heaven and he's going to save me from where I'm at. It's not like he's going to clothe and feed my son. It's not like he's going to take care of my family. No, that's my job. I take care of me and my own." After a long conversation, one of the missionaries felt very led by the Holy Spirit and said, "Vivian, do you realize that you have gifts and talents? You have leadership skills that God wants to use to transform the world?" Tears began rolling down her face. Somehow that had crept into her heart and broken apart all of her anger and all of her anxiety and all of her walls and all of her struggles. Pastor Freddie says, Vivian, can I pray with you? In a dark, dingy brothel in the middle of a tiny city most likely none of you have ever heard of, in the middle of Peru, Vivian prayed that night and accepted Christ as her personal Savior. Pastor Freddie's heart and passion and desire was to do whatever it takes to show the love of God, to feed the church of Jesus Christ, to bring people into that experience where they accept Christ as their personal Savior and join a body of believers. He understood what it meant to be the church. Paul understood as well. There were a lot of difficulties that happened in the city of Corinth. On Paul's second missionary journey, he made his way all the way around the Mediterranean area of the world, and he came along this city that is better known as modern day LA. It was full of all kinds of business, including prostitution. It was full of all kinds of sin. Everywhere you turned, you could find something to get into. And Paul felt led to be in that place with those people. A huge multicultural, diverse group that had gathered there in Corinth for all different types of reasons. And Paul shows up and begins planting seeds of the Word of Jesus Christ. And through the 18 months that he stayed there and ministered there and lived alongside these Gentiles, the seeds began to grow. And a body of Christ was formed. A church that met together. An ecclesia. It means an assembly. A meeting of people. But it goes much deeper than that. It's not just a gathering of people like you assemble at a town hall for a meeting that the mayor is running. It's not like that. You see, this assembly is the assembly of Jesus Christ. It is a group of people that come together. There is one body, one mission, one calling, and that is the calling of Jesus Christ, to seek and to save the lost. It's an assembly with conviction, an assembly that reaches out beyond itself to bring other people in for the sake of the good news. It is the church. And Paul understood that that church just didn't mean in Corinth, but it meant to the ends of the known world, where the people of God were meeting together, celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and understanding His love, and sharing that with the world. After 18 months of time there, Paul was feeling led into other areas of the world. He left them, not on their own, but to continue to grow and to minister. He wrote letters to them, and they write letters back. And over time, through the grapevine, Paul began to hear rumors and murmurings of a church that was not existing for its purpose. They had begun to squabble. They had begun to find, I don't know, it just kind of came out. Swap, that works, right? They were bickering and fighting over things that didn't matter at all. They were having issues with where they had come from and whose disciple they were and who they followed after. And all of these issues that the Corinthian church was having, Paul came right back in with a letter that we call 1 Corinthians. And we're going to be hanging out here for the next several weeks in our series, Be the Church. You see, in Corinthians, the word church, ecclesia, is used 21 times. 21 times. Next only to Acts, where it's used 23. It was very, very important for the church to be the church because Paul knew that hub, that mecca of a city called Corinth, could be one of the most amazing sources of the love of Jesus Christ that had ever been seen. if they would just get it. If they just grasp what it was all about. If they could figure out what it meant to be the church. And so Paul wrote this letter to them. And in this letter, we find some amazing nuggets of wisdom and beauty. We find what it truly means to be followers of Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians, Paul talks a lot about being the body. About our body having many different parts and us having different skills and different talents and different abilities and different gifts that are gifted to us by the Holy Spirit. And in and of ourselves, those gifts are worthless. But when we come together as a church, when we come together as a body of Christ, all of our parts are in one another. If we're working together in unity and in harmony and in love, we are able to reach out in a way that Christ had predicted long ago. His desire and his goal for us was to change the world. It's a body of believers that is founded in the love of God. You see, all that Old Testament laws and rules that we find, as you read through those, you go, man, there is no way I'm ever going to be able to obey all that junk. What in the world? How am I going to follow all these laws and regulations that are written out for me? There's no way. You're right. The law is the death of all of us. There's no way that we can follow all of those rules. And Jesus said, we're going to sum up the law, and we're going to sum up the prophets, and we're going to look at all that, and we're going to bring it down to one thing. We're going to bring it home. And this is where the rubber meets the road. If you want to be the church, if you want to be the people of God, if you want to be following after Him, if you want to be transforming the world, if you want to look like Jesus, then you're going to love God first, and you're going to love your neighbor. And it's not just a love that is this affectionate love. It's not just a googly-eyed love, right? Do you guys remember your first kiss? You don't have to tell me. You don't have to tell yourself. You don't have to tell yourself. Do you remember your first kiss, the very first time? I was the very first person that Chad ever kissed. I'm tattooing on you. And I love it. I love that. You remember that very first kiss. That very first time. It's not that kind of love. It's a love that goes deeper than that. A love that drives us to action. It's an agape love. You see, when Jesus is talking about love God and love your neighbor, he's not just saying, this is how you should feel about them. Right? This is not the type of love that's a feeling. That's not where it starts. That's not where it happens. This is the type of love that is God. And the type of love that is God is a love that is rooted in action. From the very beginning of time, God created the heavens and the earth, and He created people in His image. And because God is love, Adam and Eve were created in that image of love, that image that looks like going out and being Christ to others. And when Christ came, it wasn't just a love that you could feel or sense. Christ's actions were all acted out of the source of who He is, a God of love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, I think it's up here too, verses 1 through 7. We're going to read through those today. There are lots of places that we could have started in Corinthians when we're talking about being the church. But as I was reading through, I felt very led back to this passage. And I think it goes back to that source. That source that is God. that our God is love. That if we are going to be the church and act like the church, we've got to get over ourselves and how we feel, and we've got to get into acting like Jesus acted. We have got to be replications of the love of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 7. If I could speak all the languages of the earth and of angels, but I didn't love others, I would be only a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy and I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains, but I didn't love others, it would be for nothing. If I gave everything that I have to the poor and even sacrificed my own body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices when the truth wins out. Love never gives up. It never loses faith. It always hopes, and it endures through every circumstance. Every time I read this, it bites me. You see, right before verse 13, back in chapter 12, the end of the last verse, verse 31, it says, "Let me show you a way of life that is best of all. Let me show you a way of life that is best of all." Paul just got done talking about all of the different gifts and talents that God has given us. About how he's put this body together, about the different abilities that people have to prophesy, or to preach, or to teach. These gifts that the Holy Spirit has given us. And somehow, the Corinthians had gotten in their minds that what they could do in and of themselves was more important than what they could do as a body of believers. I have tried for a long time to love on my own. Have you ever done that? Not the feeling love, but the action love. I've tried to be patient and kind and not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. I try not to have my own way. I try not to be irritable or keep records of wrong. I try not to rejoice in injustice, but rejoice when the truth wins out. I try to never give up, never lose faith, always be hopeful, and endure through every circumstance, but it seems like I constantly fail. Constantly fail. Especially the patience one. And I'm sure you all read through this and you go, that love is whatever the word is after it, and you go, man, that's my nemesis. That's so hard for me. That is a really tough place for me to be. And mine is patience. I'll just admit it right out here in front of everybody. When I go, love is patient, I have to take deep breaths. I'm going to be on heart medication soon. Especially after last night's Tuesday. I want to love like this. But you see, when Paul was talking about loving like this, he wasn't talking about us doing it on our own. See, that's where the failure comes in. That's whenever we start focusing on ourselves and who we are and what we want to show others and how we want to live our lives and the gifts that we have and the talents that we have and how we want to be like Jesus. And we start going, me, 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 me. This is my issue. This is my fault. And Paul says, no, no, no. The way that you're going to love perfectly the way Jesus loves is when you do it as a body. You would love as a body. Has got to exemplify patience and kindness. You know why? because we live in a world outside of our city. There are 2 million people in the Church of the Nazarene. That's the most recent statistic. A third of those people live in the United States, another third of them live in Africa. And almost a third of them are Spanish-speaking, to whom most of us can't communicate. And yet they are part of our body. And when on our own we go out and we try to love like Jesus loves, when we go out and we try to be perfect in our love, guess what? When we do it on our own, we're going to fail. We're going to fail. We're not going to be able to show the love of Jesus like He had planned for us to. We're not going to be able to be a people commissioned to win a world for Christ if we try to do it on our own. It's when we gather together. It's when we support each other. It's when we hold each other accountable. Ouch, Rachel. I don't want to be that open. It's when we hold each other accountable. And it's when we live out love. When we actively pursue the lost and the dying and the needy. When we walk down streets where brothels whine. And we sit across tables from people who are neck deep in sin. And we say, can I pray for you? Can I love you? Can I be Jesus to you? Because our body is waiting to welcome you in. Our assembly wants to show you grace and love. Because our God is love. Phineas Eversley. Anybody heard that name before? Oh, come on. More hands than that, I hope. How long have you heard that name? Phineas Eversley, I think, could be called the father of the Church of the Nazarene. He was Methodist, and he loved people, and he loved others, and he saw how the church was living and acting inside its walls, and he said, I don't think that's what God has called us to do or to be. And so he moved to L.A., and he started a church reaching out to men who were addicted to alcohol. These men who were helpless and lost and hopeless. And he said, this is our job, to see social injustice and to not shy away from it, but to dive headlong into it. To feed the church, we have to love. And Phineas Eversley, alongside many other holiness, we talked a lot about holiness this morning. That's good stuff, good stuff. People who believed that they were set apart for a purpose called by God to be the church. And he gathered them together in the United States and in Great Britain, and they came together, and over 100 years ago formed the Church of the Nazarene. Well, being known as a Nazarene wasn't a very good thing. Nothing good comes from Nazareth. That's what was told about Jesus. And they didn't come up with that name because they thought we were really good people. They didn't name us after a place that was well known and liked. They named us after a place where Christ was born. A place where Christ was raised. A place where His life had unfolded. A place that represented who Jesus was. And that's what we are. As I look back on our history and where we are today, I wonder what Phineas would say if he walked through that door. I wonder if he'd tell us to tear down the wall. I wonder if he would tell us to go and be the church. I wonder if he'd tell us that we needed to be seeking out how God was calling us as a body and reaching to people who were lost and dying, whether it's in brothels or in bars. or in the apartment complex down the street. It's pretty sketchy. To our neighbor who is past all hope. To the lady sitting in the cubicle beside of us. She's trying to raise kids on her own. Doesn't know how she's going to fill the fridge that next week. I've got good news. Jesus has good news. We are His bride. We are His bride and His beloved. And He's not going to give up on us. He's not going to stop loving us. He's not going to stop pushing us. He's not going to stop driving us to be the church that He created us to be. To be loved. And a lost and dying world. Will you join me on a mission to be the church? We get to do something really cool today. We get to officially welcome people into an amazing heritage called the Church of the Nazarene. We have some people that are transferring over to this local body because they want to be a part of who you are. And we have people that are for the very first time saying, I understand what you believe. I understand you're a holiness people, a people on a mission, a people of love, and I want to be part of your people. So, I'd just like to invite Pastor Matt back up. I'm going to turn it over to him as we welcome new members into the congregation.
This morning is an incredible morning. It's a good morning. And before I just reiterate what we believe in as people, I'm going to actually accept our transfers first today. Eric and Amanda Percy, let's go ahead and stand up, Amanda. They had their membership recently at Newcomerstown, correct? And they've been coming to this church ever since I got here, far before I got here. And they do amazing things. You'll see Eric, he's the one with the big beard. He's at work today. But he's the one who likes to play bass. And it's Eric. And Amanda is an amazing, amazing servant of God for our children. And she is downstairs most Sundays, actually. And it's, I'm glad you made it up here today. It is an honor and a privilege to welcome you here and having your membership here at NPM. So, thank you for being here. Give her a hand, everybody. Now I'm going to ask Dave and Allie Thompson and some fantastic woman named Brooke Slater to come up front here. Come on up. This morning I'm going to read from this book of ritual that really captures the essence of who we are as the Church of the Nazarene. So I'm going to be a little lengthy, but then I'm going to ask you all some questions in your commitment to the Church of the Nazarene. Dearly beloved, the privileges and blessings that we have in association together in the Church of Jesus Christ are very sacred and precious. There is in it such hallowed fellowship as cannot otherwise be known. There is such helpfulness with brotherly watch, care, and counsel as can only be found in the church. There is the godly care of pastors with the teachings of the word and the helpful inspiration of social worship. And there is cooperation in service accomplishing that which cannot be otherwise be done. The doctrines upon which the church rests as essential to Christian experience are brief. We believe in God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we especially emphasize the deity of Jesus Christ and the personality of the Holy Spirit. We believe that human beings are born in sin, that they need the work of forgiveness through Christ and the new birth by the Holy Spirit, that subsequent to this, there is a deeper work of heart, cleansing, or entire sanctification through the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And that to each of these works of grace, the Holy Spirit gives witness. We believe that our Lord will return, the dead shall be raised, and that all shall come to final judgment with its rewards and punishments. Do you, three, heartily believe these truths? If so, answer, I do. Do you acknowledge Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? And do you realize that He saves you now? Say, I do. Desiring to unite with the Church of the Nazarene, do you covenant to give yourself to the fellowship and work of God in connection with it, as set forth in the general rules and special rules of the Church of the Nazarene? Will you endeavor in every way to glorify God by a humble walk, godly conversation, and holy service, by devotedly giving of your means, by faithful attendance upon the means of grace, and abstaining from all evil? Will you seek earnestly to perfect holiness of heart and life in the fear of the Lord? If so, answer, I will. I welcome you into this church to its sacred fellowship, responsibilities, and privileges. And may the great head of the church bless and keep you and enable you to be faithful in all good works, that your life and witness may be effective in leading others to Christ. Our wonderful wife, welcome to NT Mass as an official member of the church. Allie and Dave, welcome to NP Mass, and we look forward to having you as members for a very nice long time. Give them a hand, everybody. Rachel, would you come and give the benediction?
You can stand with me this morning. Since God chose you to be the holy people that He loves, clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowances for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, you were forgiven by God, therefore you should forgive others. And above all else, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us together in perfect harmony, and let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace, and always peace. Praise God for His amazingness, for all He has done. Now go and be the church. You are the one.